This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome to Radio Islam International. It is another edition of Living the Legacy. And today, as we find ourselves drawing much closer to Ramadan, at least the time that this program is will be literally a day or two before Ramadan, inshallah. We're talking about growing spiritually, spiritual growth through Ramadan. When we looked at this topic and my producer and I spoke about which scholar we would like to address this topic, we thought of one scholar who really on all levels serves this ummah, uplifts us, and really inspires people to want to change through Islamic history, through personal development, and it is none other than Sheikh Ismail Kamda. Sheikh Ismail is an author, he is an imam, and he's also a research manager at Yaqeen Institute. Have a look at his publications there as well. Incredibly, incredible. You could download them and benefit from them incredibly. May Allah reward him and all. Ameen. Sheikh Ismail, an honor to have you with us today. Jazakumullah khair and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be here.
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh. Ramadan coming closer, we all have constant battles, each of us. At the same time, we also need to find ways to grow spiritually, to allow ourselves to do much more than just staying away from food and drink in Ramadan. Many listeners, we've spoken about it before, we know that growing spiritually is so important. But today we're going to learn more from Sheikh and understand more on how we can use the month of Ramadan to grow, and not just for Ramadan to grow spiritually, but how can we grow spiritually beyond the month of Ramadan and harvest that goodness? So we'll begin perhaps by asking Sheikh, if you can just take us back to this, because we have a lot of listeners who are reverts to Islam, new reverts. There are those that are on the journey to want to embrace Islam, to say the Shahada, inshallah. And there are those of us who may have been brought up in Muslim homes and been fasting since we are children. So all of us on different journeys. Perhaps we can go to the basic. Sheikh, what is the spiritual essence of Ramadan, please?
Okay, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. To understand the spiritual essence of Ramadan, we go to Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 183 and 185. These two verses, they summarize for us what Ramadan is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you, like how it was prescribed for those before you, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may increase in piety. And in verse 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Shahru Ramadan, about the month of Ramadan, and lays down for us the rulings of fasting and the exceptions to fasting. And he ends the verse by saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may become more grateful. So we can take from these two verses that the spiritual essence of Ramadan is that this month should increase our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning we should exit Ramadan with a stronger relationship with our Creator than we went into it, and it should make us more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should exit Ramadan, and specifically on the day of Eid, we should be in a state of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these are two of the essential qualities that the believer needs to succeed in this world and the next. That is taqwa, God consciousness, and shukr, gratitude. And Ramadan is a time of cultivating these qualities in us, of nurturing it and growing it and taking it to the next level through our acts of worship, through fasting, extra prayers, extra Quran. We do it with the goal of increasing our piety and increasing our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khair for that reminder. Sheikh, often when you're speaking to audiences, I suppose the questions are about what are the rules about this or that. But our question to you today is, in terms of spiritual growth in Ramadan, what does it mean to you as an individual?
That's a very beautiful question, alhamdulillah. So for me, every Ramadan, I'd like to exit Ramadan with at least one new good habit and having one less sin on my scales, right? Like one, to drop one bad habit. That I think is a realistic goal to work towards. So for example, if someone is not in the habit of reciting Quran every day, if they can exit Ramadan with the habit of reciting Quran, even for just 5 minutes a day, every day for the rest of their life, I would consider that Ramadan is success, that it changed them spiritually in some way. It left a permanent impact in their life, no matter how small it is, but it's a permanent impact. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah loves the good deeds that are consistent, even if they are small. So even a small change like this, where you exit Ramadan, but you now have a habit of reciting Quran for 5 minutes every day, or praying two rakats of the Tahajjud, or you at least became consistent on your five daily salah, don't undermine any small positive change to your life, because every little step counts in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for me, spiritual growth in Ramadan means there is some noticeable and permanent change in you at the end of Ramadan. It doesn't have to be something big. Doesn't mean you became, you know, one of the awliya overnight. But it's something. And it's something that you can recognize and that you can look back and say, Alhamdulillah, this Ramadan made a difference in my life.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. So that's really something we want to take on further from there, where the focus need not necessarily be on quantity always, but really the quality and each of us on that journey. Take us through a bit about more on the spiritual growth, and let's expand that to the general community, the Ummah at large. Why is that spiritual growth so important? Why isn't it just enough for me to just say, well, I'm staying away from food and drink, so I'm sacrificing two of the most important things to me? Why is spiritual growth so important to a believer?
Okay, this is an important question. To understand this question, you have to understand that we are spiritual beings, and that is the essence of who we are, that these bodies that we are in, this is temporary. We stay in these bodies for maybe 60, 70, if Allah wills, 100 years maximum, right? But our soul, that is created to live forever, right? And for it to get the maximum benefit in the afterlife, we have to be nurturing our soul. And we also have to understand, related to that, some people don't realize, but our faith is something that's constantly in flux. It's, you know, the classical theological position is al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus. Faith consistently increases and decreases. It's always going up and down. Every good deed increases our faith, every sin decreases our faith. So we are constantly in a state of either spiritual growth or spiritual regress. If we are not growing spiritually, we are regressing spiritually. This is the nature of the human being. If there's no effort on our part to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then without realizing it, we are growing more distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be constantly aware of the state of our iman. And we need to be constantly working on improving our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given us certain things that help us to constantly grow spiritually. So on a daily basis, we have the five daily salah. That is there to ensure daily spiritual growth, to prevent us from falling too far off the straight path. But then we also have the annual spiritual growth, which is through fasting in the month of Ramadan. That throughout the year, we find our faith decreasing, our sins increasing, we find ourselves becoming lazy with our good deeds. Ramadan's a chance to supercharge it. It's like a supercharge to our spiritual batteries, that we go through this month of intensive worship where we charge our spirituality for the entire year. So I think the main point that we need to take from this is that if we are not growing spiritually, we are regressing spiritually. And nobody who cares about their akhirah will want that to happen. So we need to be always focused on spiritual growth.
Definitely, inshallah. We're speaking today to Sheikh Ismail Kamda. Sheikh specializes in fiqh, tafsir, history. When you're thinking of personal development, then Sheikh Ismail was one of the pioneers with online resources and books for the Muslim community to benefit from that. He's also the founder of Islamic Self-Help. And another new initiative that we're going to ask him to share a bit with us about later on today is IzzaAcademy.com. Sheikh is also the research manager at Yaqeen Institute. We're talking about spiritual growth in Ramadan, and Sheikh is taking us through the importance of it, what the spiritual essence of Ramadan is. And we're now going to move on the topic of the nafs. When in this month, that's where a lot of focus is on, about the nafs. We hear from the scholars about anger that can come up, anger issues, other emotional issues like jealousy that come up, procrastination comes up, and our bodies go into some type of a survival mode almost. But at times it also makes us aware that there are certain aspects that we need to change in our lives. These may be old habits or new budding habits that we need to clip in the bud, so to speak. Sheikh, how can we now use the lessons that we learn about ourselves? Like, for example, last Ramadan may feel or seem like light years away for some of us, but how can we actually use the lessons from a past Ramadan, a previous Ramadan, to change and prepare for this coming Ramadan? And then, of course, throughout the year.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So one of the things we need to realize about ourselves as humans is that our spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. No one is going to reach perfection in their lifetime. So there's always something we can improve upon. And one of the things we should be doing is looking at what we did right in the past and repeating it, and looking at what we did wrong in the past and finding ways to fix it or correct it. So for example, perhaps last year someone had the intention of giving up a sinful addiction in the month of Ramadan. And they lasted about 15 days or 20 days, and then they fell back into their addiction. They shouldn't give up. Rather, they should now look back and say, okay, what happened around that point that made me fall back into it? And what can I do this year to ensure that doesn't happen again? So you don't give up, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, no one's getting to Jannah by being perfect. We get to Jannah by trying our best. I always say, if you try your best for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive the rest. That's what we aim for, to try our best. So look back and ask yourself, what did I do wrong last year? And it could be something small. It could be you didn't get enough sleep. It could be that you didn't wake up for suhoor, so you were cranky all day. It could be you tried to do too much acts of worship in the first 10 days, so you are tired for the next 20 days. It's these small things that we don't think about that affect our energy levels, that make us weaker or more vulnerable to sin. We don't think about it, and that's what we need to do. We need to sit and think and analyze our actions. You know, this is the spiritual practice of muhasaba, to hold ourselves to account, to look back and think, what did I do right? Let me repeat it. What did I do wrong? How can I improve it? And I think if we all approach Ramadan in this manner every year, then with each year, our Ramadan should bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the year before. We're not going to exit Ramadan sinless and perfect, but we're going to exit it closer to Allah than we were the year before, maybe having dropped one or two sinful habits or gained one or two habits of righteousness, right? So that's what's important. It is muhasaba.
And I think many of us growing up may have not had that information, that awareness about this muhasaba. For many, it was just, you know, checklist of things you need to do, but that self-awareness in Ramadan was missing for many. And I think that's something that many of the youth today are aware of. So let's bring the topic in to our youth. As a father of youngsters yourself, you know, many of our teens, we know many of our teens actually are fasting just because it's fard, because they know they need to be doing it, because everyone else is doing it. How can they not? But how can parents motivate their teens to develop their spiritual awareness, to grow closer to Allah? How do we actually start speaking to our youth about the spiritual journey of Ramadan?
It's an important question. And before answering the question, I just want to clarify that In our communities, we tend to have two extremes when it comes to dealing with our youth, right? One is where we don't focus on this topic at all, and the other extreme is that we expect too much from them. You know, we expect them to be awliya by the age of 16 or 17, and we're like disappointed when we learn that they're human and they have their own faults and their own spiritual journeys to go through, and this is also unrealistic. So as parents, we need to be the primary spiritual guides of our children, that's for sure. But we also need to be realistic of where they are and how much they can grow in a month or a year instead of expecting too much from them. Now, one of the things I find that works best with children and teenagers to make Ramadan more spiritual is to focus more on doing things together as a family. Right? So if you tell your teenager to go sit in his room and recite Quran for an hour, it's highly unlikely that Quran recitation is going to be a spiritual experience for him. Right? It's more going to be something that he's just doing to get mom and dad off his back. But if you are having suhoor as a family, having iftar as a family, and I mean by having as a family, your child's not in his room in front of his laptop watching YouTube videos and eating by himself, nor is he sitting there on the table scrolling through his Facebook or Twitter, you know, and doing his own thing. So he's physically there, but mentally not there. I mean, the family's sitting together. There's no devices. There's no technology. You're giving each other attention. You'll make dua as a family together before iftar. The father or the mother share a few words of wisdom. You do it together as a family. So it becomes a memory, it becomes an experience. The spirituality is something you're experiencing together, that you are growing and they are growing together. So try to make suhoor and iftar family events. Try to have something that you do together intellectually, whether it's watching a YouTube series. So at Yaqeen Institute we have very beautiful YouTube series every Ramadan, like the Quran 30 for 30 series and Sheikh Umar Suleiman series. You know, and there are many other scholars out there like Mufti Mank who have Ramadan series. So watching a YouTube series together on Islam every night, or having a family halaqa, like 15 minutes before iftar, you'll sit together and dad says share some words of wisdom, and the kids, you know, add their comments as well. It's important to get them involved, that way they mention what's in their mind and they ask their questions as well. Another thing you could do to make a child more spiritually aware in Ramadan and to help them to grow spiritually in Ramadan is to take them for Taraweeh, but to take them to the masjid where they're going to have the most spiritual experience, right? Sometimes we ourselves are lazy with Taraweeh, so we look for the masjid where they recite the fastest and where we just get it done and over with. So you are not growing spiritually through the Taraweeh, neither are your children. But if you're going to a masjid where the Taraweeh is a spiritual experience, where the imam is reciting with tajweed and beautiful recitation, and it's like a 10-minute tafsir before, after the Taraweeh, now it becomes a spiritual experience for your teenagers. And that's my experience growing up, that my mom, you know, back in 2004 or 5, I think it was, Mufti Mank used to do the Taraweeh here at NMJ Hall in Durban, and my mom used to take us every night. We used to pray Taraweeh behind him and attend his tafsir as well. And that made a very big difference in our lives as teenagers. It shaped our Ramadan for us. It is our Ramadan memories. You want to create similar memories for your teenagers. So doing things together as a family at this point is very important. That's really where the spirituality is going to come from, where you experience Ramadan as a collective and not as individuals.
Very, very helpful tips, I think, for many of us who have children who are teens. I think that will be so, so helpful for us to explore for this Ramadan, inshallah, family goals for Ramadan. Sheikh, we're talking now about the struggle that many people face and what we don't often talk about, and that is achieving closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What advice would you have for us on striving to have that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a world where, you know, technology can often be very distracting for youth and people of all ages? What are some things that we can and should be doing to work towards that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Okay, Hamza, this is a very important question. Firstly, we need to understand that getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a lifelong journey. It's not something where you reach a finish line and you say, I'm done, I'm close to Allah. It's a lifelong journey. There's always something we can improve, whether it's with our character, our manners, or the quality of our acts of worship, or decreasing our sins, or giving up the disliked acts. There's always some way to improve. So nobody should ever think that I'm done. You know, I've reached the highest level possible. That should never be in anyone's mind. Rather, we all need to always be looking at what we can do next, what can we do to improve. So I'll share a few tips on things that anyone can do that will dramatically increase your closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one is developing a relationship with the Quran. So again, going back to verse 185 of Surah Baqarah, it says, شَهْرُ رَمَدَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed as a guidance for mankind. Are we treating the Quran as our guidance? Are we treating it as our manual for how we live our lives? Take time to recite the Quran. Take time to read the translations. Take time to study the tafsir with ulama. Take time to reflect on its meanings. And most importantly, take time to apply it to your lives. The Quran should not just be something that sits on the top shelf in our house. It should be a living, guiding force in our life. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al Quran hujjatun laka aw alayka," that the Quran is either a proof for you or against you on the day of judgment. So we want it to be a proof for us by making sure that we are living by it. So tip number one, develop a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. Right? The closer you are with the Quran, the closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, develop a close relationship to Allah can be done through increasing the quality of our salah. So we're not just praying salah to get it over and done with. We're not just praying it because we have to, but we find ways to get joy from the salah. That we learn to understand what we are reciting. That we utilize the moments of dua in the salah to reach out to Allah and ask Allah for what we want. That we take our time to pray slowly and intentionally, and then we increase the amount of salah we pray. And specifically, if you can build a habit of tahajjud, even if it's just two rakats, that goes a very long way to increasing your closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan is a great time to build this habit because we all are awake tahajjud time in Ramadan anyway, right? Because tahajjud time and suhoor time is the same. So to just take 5 minutes to pray two rakat salah before eating, it's a good time to build this habit. Tahajjud goes a very long way towards building this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing we can do to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have good role models, and specifically to have an attachment with ulama. That everybody should have some scholars in their life who they are close to, right? Whether it's a mufti or a sheikh or for the sisters in alima or a hafiza, someone who you turn to for advice, someone who you can speak to about your struggles, someone who can advise you on how to overcome your sins or how to increase your good deeds. Everyone should have a person of knowledge in their life who they are close to and who they seek advice from. This is very important because the ulama know better the ways to get close to Allah than the average Muslim. So tap into this resource. Make sure that there's some scholar in your life who you are close to, right? So I think these are three of the most important things that we can do. Number one is to develop a relationship with the Quran. Number two would be to increase the quality of our salah, and specifically to start praying the tahajjud. And number three is to have a close relationship with a scholar. To have some kind of scholar who you are close enough to that you can seek their advice when you feel that your iman is wavering or that you are becoming distant from Allah, and they are able to advise you on how to get close to Allah again.
Inshallah. That's very, very helpful. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. In Ramadan, we all talk about how much of barakah we have in our time. And mm-hmm. So we may change our schedules and whatever it is, but we get to work on our Quran goals. Many of us complete the Quran in Ramadan. And when Ramadan ends, we go back to our routines that were pre-Ramadan. So what happens is after each day, many people struggle to read the Quran. And, it's not until the next year again that we may do a khatam or even read more Quran. How can we use this blessed month to help change our routines in a more sustained way, long term, and really start acknowledging what are the time thieves, what are the time wasters in my day?
is a lot to cover in this question. The first thing I want to mention about this question is that we should have realistic expectations of what we can do outside of Ramadan, right? Ramadan is a special time. We are the best versions of ourselves in Ramadan. The amount of worship that we do in Ramadan, it's not realistic to expect us to sustain the same level throughout the year. Nor does Allah expect that from us, nor is that the practice of the people of the past. Right? If you look at the righteous Muslims of the past, they all had their good habits that they practiced throughout the year, but still there were things they did more in Ramadan than the rest of the year. Right? So if somebody was reciting 3 Qurans a year, they would be reciting 10 Qurans a Ramadan. So they, even when you get to a higher level of spirituality outside of Ramadan, your Ramadan still needs to look better than it. So when you see that in Ramadan you are reciting 2 juz of the Quran a day, and now after Ramadan you can't even recite half a juz, don't be despondent. Don't feel like giving up altogether. Rather, what we should do is set some realistic goals. So if you, in Ramadan, develop the habit of reciting 2 juz of the Quran a day, outside of Ramadan, a realistic habit would be 10 minutes of Quran a day. Right? Mm. So this is something that's realistic. This is something that's manageable, something you can make time for. So that's the first thing, that you want to set realistic goals for yourself. You want to see, what could I sustain throughout the year? That 2 juz a day, I can do it in Ramadan, because we have that spiritual boost in Ramadan. Outside of Ramadan, maybe 10 minutes a day. It's better than nothing, right? Again, going back to the hadith, to be consistent with the small good deeds. Same with the hajj, right? In Ramadan, many of us are praying 20 rakats of the night prayer, you know, after Isha. And of course, after Ramadan, if we can just keep up the habit of 2 rakats before Fajr or 2 rakats extra after Isha, you know, just 2 rakats of Qiyam al-Layl, it's way better than nothing. It's something that's manageable. So I would say set realistic goals. Ask yourself seriously and honestly, what could I realistically sustain for the year? And let me try and make that my new habit, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a permanent change to your routine. But it's not going to be your entire routine changes. It's just 10 minutes of your day that's changing. But that 10 minutes gives barakah to the rest of your day. So that's very important. Then the other part of the question you mentioned is time wasters. And really, we all have time wasters. And we all need to look for ways to cut down. Like, one of the things I'm doing this year is I'm cutting down on social media, because I believe that's my biggest time waster. And it's something I'm encouraging others to do as well. So what you need to do, again, muhasabah. Take account of your day. Where is my time going? Many people say there's no barakah in their time. I would say there's barakah in all of our times if we are keeping track of where our time goes. So if someone's watching a lot of Netflix, if someone's playing too many video games, if someone spends 5-6 hours a day just scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, then yes, you need to hold yourself to account. You need to ask yourself, is there a better usage of this time? Is there something I could be doing with this time that is better for my dunya or my deen, right? Something that's at least beneficial in some way. And find ways to cut down so that you use your time in a way that is more productive. And this is specifically true with technology. Technology is taking over our lives in the 21st century in a very dangerous way, that's causing us to lose touch with nature, lose touch with our families, and even lose touch with ourselves. So we really need to look at how we are wasting time with technology and find ways to scale back so that we have more time for our families, more time for thinking, more time for nature, and more time for ibadat.
Absolutely. Well, that's a very interesting goal to work towards, and very commendable. We know that a lot of your work and the projects you work on are all online, so we'd love to maybe do a follow-up after Ramadan later in the year, and for you to share your insight, your experience, and your advice on how we, the ordinary lay people, can make that effort and work towards a goal as cutting back or reducing on that social media. As you mentioned, that technology can be so dangerous, and it can pull away from our time. So jazakallah khair for sharing that. When it comes to the Ramadan topics, you've shared with us plenty today, given us so many practical tips, and we do encourage our listeners. The program will be up on podcast within 24 hours, so please do go back on the podcast, listen to it again. I know I'm going to do that, and I've made notes where I could, but there's so much I want to go back on, listen on again, and reflect and look at action points. So do go back to the podcast and share the podcast link with others as well, because it is so helpful. Sheikh covers a wide variety. Although our topic focused on spiritual growth, it expanded to so much about who we are, our parenting, our community effort, the family, and Ramadan. So there's plenty of gems today with Sheikh Ismail. Sheikh, you've recently founded an academy that's something really very, very unique. Tell us more. Introduce us to Izzah Academy, please.
Sure, alhamdulillah. So Izzah Academy is something that came about organically in the past 12 months. It started off with about 2 years ago, a lot of youngsters were reaching out to me on a variety of problems, men complaining about issues of masculinity. They don't know what it means to be a real man. They're very confused on what does Islam teach on this topic. People reaching out to me about marriage problems, or more specifically with the younger generation, not being able to get married, not being able to find someone suitable for marriage. Confusion on gender roles in Islam, confusion on, you know, why does Islam say that the man is the leader of the household, you know, the influence of feminism on our understanding of Islam, all of these problems were popping up. So I started to do research into it to try and find solutions. My initial goal was to write a book on the topic. I ended up writing 3 first drafts and deleting them because I realized the book wasn't going to do justice. And I then decided I want to have a full platform focus on this topic, right? So Izzah Academy, and Izzah means dignity or honor. It comes from the idea that in Islam, marriage is there to preserve the honor and dignity of Muslims. And if we want to live dignified lifestyles, we need to make marriage easy and workable and beneficial for the Ummah again. That we have a generation that look at marriage as a burden, or they look at marriage as something that gets in the way of their freedom and their individuality. We have a generation that are scared to get married because the divorce rate is so high, or they hear so many stories of abuse and violence. I want to change that image. I want people to look forward to marriage. I want people to see that the Islamic version of marriage is the one that works best, even though it may be very different from modern feminist understandings of marriage. I want people to enjoy marriage. I want to see the youth excited about getting married one day. You know, we've reached a dangerous point in our communities where, you know, in the past, teenage boys and girls would look at each other with excitement, you know, and we'd be worried that they might, fall into zina, and we want to get them married young. Now we've reached a dangerous point where young boys and girls look at each other as the enemy. And we have these gender wars where boys hate girls and girls hate boys. And this is unnatural. And this is not good, because how are you going to get married and form a good relationship with a member of the opposite gender if you see them as your enemy? So I want to change all of this. And so Izzah Academy is my first step towards doing so. At the moment, I just have a few articles and have a few videos and my first online course, which is Foundations of a Strong Marriage. And this is just a first effort at trying to fix this problem. There will be more things in future. I'm hoping to put up online courses on masculinity and books on the topic as well. Trying to get some sisters on board to address the concept of femininity and feminism. I know when a man discusses it, people don't want to listen. So maybe get some sisters to join to discuss those topics. But the goal is really very simple. We want to revive the traditional Islamic family, and we want the youth to be excited about marriage again, and we want to decrease the divorce rate and increase the rate of happy marriages. And this is just a humble effort at trying to do that.
Inshallah, it is such an incredibly amazing initiative, and we're so glad that alhamdulillah, Sheikh is doing this, and may it be full of barakah for all of us, for our communities. It is so, so much needed. As we prepare to conclude with today's interview, Sheikh, any words of advice that you would like to leave us and our listeners with, please?
Sure, if I had to leave any advice to anyone, it would be, well, this will always be my advice to everybody I meet, is to focus on building for yourself sources of continuous reward, right? None of us know how long we have in this world and when we're going to leave. Anyone can pass away at any moment. What you want to do is to spend your life investing in the akhirah, in the afterlife. And the best way to do that is to leave behind sources of continuous reward. The Prophet ﷺ said that when a person passes away, all of their deeds come to an end besides three: knowledge that continues to benefit people, charity that continues to benefit people, and righteous offspring that make dua for you. So each of us should be focusing on these three areas in our life. Are we in some way contributing to leaving behind beneficial knowledge that will continue to benefit people after we pass away? So that can be a source of continuous reward for us, right? Are we spending our money on sources of continuous charity so that can continue to benefit us long after we have passed away? And are we getting married and having lots of children and raising righteous children who will have their own children and raise righteous children? So for generations to come, people will be making dua for us and remembering us, and their good deeds will also be added to our scale. These are three things that every Muslim should focus on. These are our three sources of continuous reward: knowledge that continues to benefit, charity that continues to benefit, and children that benefit us after we pass away. Now, not everyone can do all three. Some can do charity, some can do knowledge, some can have children. But if you can do all three, do all three. If you can do two out of three, do two out of three. But at the very least, we should be doing one out of three, because our focus should be on investing in the afterlife. That should be the number one focus of every Muslim. And the best way to do that is to spend whatever time we have on this world setting up sources of continuous reward. So should we pass away suddenly, then inshallah, we will be leaving behind a legacy that will continue to benefit the ummah long after we have passed away, and will continue to pile up on our scale of good deeds.
Inshallah, ameen. Jazakallah khair for that beautiful nasiha. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you, your family, your community with a blessed Ramadan. And we ask you to keep us in your du'as. And we are so honored and grateful for your time. We always learn and inspired by you and by the practical advice that you give us on how to live Islam. May Allah take you from strength to strength, Shaykh. Ameen.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair for having me. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today on the program, Spiritual Growth and Ramadan, our guest, Sheikh Ismail Kamda. Sheikh specializes in the fields of fiqh, tafsir, and history, and is the author of over a dozen books in the fields of Islamic studies and personal development. Sheikh is founder of Islamic Self-Help, Izzah Academy, and the research manager at Yaqeen Institute. This program will be up on podcast, inshallah, within 24 hours. You can listen, playback, and share the recording with others. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of the program. Do join us next week as we continue with our Ramadan edition of Living a Legacy. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.